This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. When the pandemic shut down many of our workplaces, a lot of people were rightfully concerned about how they would pay their bills, particularly their rent and mortgage. An eviction moratorium designed to keep people in their homes even as their incomes ran dry is not working out as planned. I spoke earlier with a local woman facing eviction and a pair of local advocates looking to help. Here's our pre-recorded conversation. Joining us now is Monique Simmons, who joins us on the phone. Monique, thank you for being with us.
Oh, thank you for having me.
It's our pleasure to have you. I'm grateful you're spending some time talking about what I can imagine is a pretty difficult situation. If you don't mind, with whatever you're comfortable talking about, can you just tell us what your living situation is right now?
Right now, I am on the brink of facing an eviction. Basically, I've been going back and forth to court with my landlord in spite of the CDC order. He is not willing to help me or accept it.
What's the living situation like? You live in an apartment?
I live in an apartment. It's I've been here for 3.5 years. It was nice. It was comfortable, lovely, until we switched landlords. And the landlord that we have now, the property has went down. There's been multiple shootings, and he is just he just is wanting the money. He really doesn't care how or what, but he's really not up to par.
Can I ask how much rent costs at your apartment?
It's $525 for a two-bedroom.
What's your employment situation? Were you working?
I was working until we got shut down for the COVID. Work over at Newport at the Brass Lounge. I am a mixer, barmaid. So I've been going through that as far as being shut down. I couldn't receive unemployment. So I've just been going to organizations and just trying to get help to them. Once I found out about the CDC order, I was really relieved because I wasn't working, and the money that I did have, I was saving. So it was like, okay, I can give this to the landlord along with the paperwork explaining why I'm only given a portion amount. And he returned it back to me in the envelope, flipped it through my door, and on the envelope it read, eviction already filed.
Wow.
A couple of days later, I ended up with a 3-day notice, then turned around and received eviction papers.
When was this?
This was in November, like the end of October, beginning of November.
You mentioned that the property from which you rent an apartment changed ownership. When did that take place?
That happened 2 years ago.
Okay.
We got a paper stating that they were going to switch management, and from that paper, I never got to see him, never talked to the guy, he never came on the property. The office that we did have on the property is now turned into a storage unit that they use, so there is no face-to-face contact. You cannot even call the landlord. You have to send a text or an email, and that is very iffy on when he'll get back to you on that. So it's like a hit or miss.
So you were working at a bar in Newport when the pandemic hit and closed everything down. You mentioned that you couldn't get unemployment. Why were you ineligible for that?
I sent off my paperwork and never received anything as far as letting me know if I was eligible or not. That's after I worked, though. I don't even think I worked in December. I think after the little thing of him not wanting to, the landlord not wanting to help me, I was just like, me and Amanda, we came up with like, okay, he doesn't even, let me start over. When we went to court, the judge ruled in my favor. and said that I was okay. I met the guidelines of the CDC order. And for him to, you know, go through of what they were saying. So I tried to even send, after we went to court, to start sending portions. He did not want it. He still wasn't accepting it. Amanda got me through Community Action Agency for, the renter's relief program, to where they would help me with my rent. I did all my paperwork, what I was supposed to do. I brought that to her. She then contacted his attorney, and neither one of them responded back to her. Neither one of them even signed the paperwork to even get the money.
You talked about an attorney, and we should reference that you are using services from Legal Aid Society of Southwest Ohio. You're also being helped in some capacity by the Cincinnati Hamilton County Community Action Agency. We will be joined by representatives from both of those agencies just ahead. So, Monique, I want to talk a little bit more about your situation. At what point during the pandemic, when you were no longer working, did you look at your financial situation and realize that you were not going to be able to pay rent the way you had been?
When we shut down, I went, and it just so happened, I went on my friend's Facebook page, and she had up, because even before this, I was having some trouble paying my rent, but until I got a job, so I was going through different organizations and getting help through them. St. Catherine's, Salvation Army, Santa Maria, where these are some of the places, you know, that were consistent on helping me. Then when I did get a job, I was getting paid every Tuesday, so I was able to make that all the way up until the pandemic. Then I stumbled upon the CDC, so I'm like, ooh, that's buying me time until I can get back to work or I can find another job. And it really tore me up, because I even saw on the news, and they were even talking about the CDC order and how the management, you were renting, how this is supposed to help you out if you were having trouble with your finances and all this. And I'm like, okay, great. And then when he just turned me down and was like, oh my God, I don't know what to do.
We're talking with Monique Simmons, a resident here in Cincinnati facing eviction from her apartment. She lost her job when the bar she was working at in Newport was shut down due to COVID-19 mitigation efforts, and is facing eviction after a landlord has decided not to honor the CDC eviction moratorium. What did you feel like when you said the landlord slid that envelope back under your door, the envelope in which you had put a partial rent payment along with the notice about the CDC's eviction moratorium? How did you feel when you opened it and saw that eviction proceedings had already begun?
I was lost for words. All I could do was just cry. I didn't know what to do. I still don't know what to do. Hard. Unknowing what's going to happen before you're old. And I can't not have a place for us to stay. I was homeless. I was in a shelter. That's how I got this. That's how I got my apartment, from being in the shelter and doing everything that I needed to do, and having all my paperwork all the way up. And to have this is... Oh my God, I'm just still lost for words. I don't know.
Well, you can take as much time as you need. You can take as much time as you need to gather your thoughts and share that with us. I know a lot of people listening are feeling very sympathetic right now. But you mentioned you have a 4-year-old.
Yes, I have a 4-year-old. His name's Armani. If it wasn't for him, I would just give up. I'm at my lowest point right now. I don't know what else to do. All I can do right now, even after I went back to work, I had to tell them I had to take a leave, because I have so much stuff in my apartment that I have to pack. And they were, you know, understanding. And so, like, yesterday I had to go back and tell them, like, I gotta come back to work. I can't do this. I had some money saved. I'm down to like $400 or $500 now. I still haven't received the stimulus check. But every little bit that I have, I am saving. But it's hard when I'm not working. So I just don't know what to do. I'm trying to apply for, you know, subsidized housing and get help like that. But there's a waiting list. There's practically a waiting list every place that I look. I know the last time that I did an interview, before the first interview, I was offered a job. I was stoked. I was like, yeah, I got one job. I won't have to worry, you know, about getting shut down. It's doing home health aid. And the only thing that's stopping me from doing that is my driver's license. Everything looked good. The lady offered me my job until I could provide her with a driver's license. She then proceeded to tell me that she would hold the position for me until I was able to get my license. So now I'm back at square one. Do I worry about being without a job again because of the pandemic? You know, we're under curfew until, the 21st or 22nd, 7th of this month? And it's like, okay, the numbers are getting higher. Everybody's, you know, struggling. Are we going to shut down again? Like, stuff I have to worry about. And then if I do move and all my ducks are in a row, if we do get shut down again by me being at the bar, I have to go and tell somebody else, like, hey, this is what things are going on. And I just don't want to be like that. So I've been looking for, like, other jobs, like I said, with home health aid and stuff, which I know there's a need for. So I know by getting that, I'll pretty much have a stable job.
What's the issue with your driver's license?
I had some driving without license, and I have like 2 tickets from like 2014 and one in 2004. And it's like, oh my gosh, this is crazy. So that's another roadblock. I did everything I was supposed to do, got my SR-22 bond, got everything. And then when I was on my way to the little, reinstatement, they told me, like, I had some tickets. So that's just a little roadblock there.
Another roadblock that you'd mentioned, Monique, is the waiting list that you're facing when you apply for subsidized housing. And I understand that when you look for even market rate apartments, those are out of your price range, like $1,000 or $900. Again, you're currently paying, I think you said, $525 a month.
Yeah.
Can you talk about what that process has been like, feeling like you're priced out of the market?
It's like, what else can I do? I don't know where else to apply at. I really, like I said, I really did think that going through this company would have been okay by doing the home health aid. That's how I know, like, okay, because at the bar, I don't get paid hourly. I get paid by tips, and that's about it. So I'm struggling on that, but I want to just get out there and find something that's going to be stable to where I don't have to be like this. I am really, really frustrated. This is just, it's all around crazy.
We're talking with Monique Simmons, a local resident facing eviction after losing work during the pandemic and having a landlord not honoring the CDC's eviction moratorium. When we come back, we're going to talk to some of the agencies that are helping Monique in her effort to find more stable housing and to fight her eviction. You're listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition On Demand. Did you know you can have the show delivered straight to your smartphone every day? Just go to your favorite podcast listening app, search Cincinnati Edition, and subscribe. You'll be able to keep up with all our great conversations with newsmakers, public officials, and other interesting people from the greater Cincinnati region and beyond on the go, anytime, anywhere. It's great for those days you can't tune in to catch us live. Weekdays at noon on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. We've been talking with Monique Simmons, a local resident facing eviction in spite of the CDC's eviction moratorium brought on by the pandemic. And joining us now are representatives from a couple of agencies that are assisting Monique in her effort to find stable housing or to remain in the current home in which she lives. We're joined via Zoom by Nick DiNardo, managing attorney at Legal Aid Society of Southwest Ohio. Nick, welcome back to our show.
Thanks, Michael. It's great to be here.
And we're also joined by Mark Lawson. He's president and CEO of Cincinnati Hamilton County Community Action Agency. Mark, welcome to Cincinnati Edition.
Thanks, Michael. Great to be here as well.
Also on the line with us is WVXU reporter Jolene Almendarez. She's also on the Zoom call. Jolene, thank you for being with us.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
Jolene, I know you spoke with Monique for a story that we've produced and aired here on 91.7. Can you talk a little bit about what you discovered about the situation through your conversations with her?
Right. And so I interviewed Monique. I also talked to Nick, who's on the line right now. And I think the biggest thing that really stands out for me is just how little the eviction moratorium seems to be helping people. I mean, just hearing about how it's being enforced in the courts and how people are really struggling to have some of the protections that the CDC and government says they should have was pretty shocking for me. And it also just it raises a lot more questions. I mean, I still am trying to figure out how it's beneficial for landlords to kick people out and be short on rent, as opposed to just wait for some of these local organizations to dole out money that is coming, that they do have funds for. And so it's been something that I was happy to cover. And I think that's really what stands out for me.
Well, you also learned during your conversations, Jolene, that landlords also face some hardships because of all of this, right? So people are losing their income and unable to pay their rent, but often the property owners, the landlords, have mortgages that they have to pay, and they're claiming hardships as well.
Right. So that's another thing that I'm covering is some of these smaller landlords. You know, there's people who maybe own one other house that they've turned into a duplex or a fourplex, and they need that rent to help pay their own mortgages. Now, there is funding available for landlords who are looking to get some relief like that. But yeah, a lot of small landlords are also, could be facing foreclosure in the long term. So, I mean, it's a complex issue. I think a lot of people like to make these kinds of issues as, you know, there's the villain and there's people being taken advantage of or harmed because of the villain. And that's not necessarily the case. This is just a sweeping hardship that a lot of people are facing because of the pandemic.
Nick DiNardo is managing attorney with Legal Aid Society of Southwest Ohio. Nick, we heard Monique say that she attempted to pay part of her rent several months ago and included a notation that the CDC has said, you know, there's an eviction moratorium. I'm wondering if you can help us understand the legal side of things, and you are helping Monique here and many others. Is this not a binding order from the federal government?
It is a binding order from the CDC, and now it's been extended by the recent stimulus bill from Congress. So it is binding law, but the problem is it's not a true moratorium. What it says is that tenants cannot be evicted for non-payment of rent if they meet certain requirements, and there's some affirmative actions that these tenants have to take before they get the protections of the CDC order. So it's not just an automatic ban on evictions for non-payment of rent. The tenant has to affirmatively give the landlord a declaration under the CDC order that says that they meet the requirements. And they have to do several other things. They have to be income eligible. Now, the the vast majority, if not all the people seeking assist or seeking its protections are going to be under the income guidelines, which are $99,000 a year. So that's not really an issue. But they do have to have used their best efforts to sought out help, and they have to make partial payments for as much as they're able to make with whatever their current remaining income is. And so many of the agencies like Community Action Agency, and there's some other agencies in the community who are also offering rental assistance, like Talbert House, the Free Store, and St. Vincent de Paul. Many of these agencies are very backed up with requests for assistance. I mean, this is a huge problem we're having. So oftentimes when a person calls one of these agencies or even multiple agencies for assistance, it may take a week or more for that agency to get back to them. And so it's been difficult for people to get assistance, and it does take some time to get the application put together.
Are these applications and documents that are necessary, are they difficult to navigate for the average person?
I think they are somewhat difficult because you have to come up with things like social security cards or birth certificates. You have to come up with your employment records for the past 30 days, or your income records, I should say. And so sometimes that can be a difficult process, getting the employer who just laid you off to provide you with those sorts of documents, or getting together unemployment compensation records, those sorts of things. So it definitely takes some time. Now, I think that both Legal Aid and the other agencies who are providing assistance are doing a good job of helping people. You kind of, once they get through the pipeline, the waiting list at that agency. So we're able to do it, but it does take some time. We want to be good stewards of this money. And so that's kind of been the major restriction here, is that there's the need is huge, and it's overwhelming the capacity of the various agencies to deal with it all at once. So we kind of have to put people on a wait list.
Mark Lawson is president and CEO of Cincinnati Hamilton County Community Action Agency. Mark, we just heard Nick reference how many people are in need. Can you give us an idea of how many people are turning to your agency during this period for help with situations similar to the one Monique is experiencing?
We've never seen more folks asking for help right now. People are really in dire straits. In the last 2 months of 2020, we spent $2 million helping folks with rent and mortgages, and overall about 2,000 families. So the need is huge, and Nick is right that we probably have about 1,500 folks in our pipeline just trying to get services from us. We've hired 10 to 12 more folks on our staff to get through the backlog, but it's difficult. And so Nick is exactly right that the moratorium is important to put a hold on things so that we can get to these people, because the money's available. We have, you know, $2 million or so left from the state Ohio Home Relief Grant money to use. And we'd like to be able to help all those people. And so, you know, staying and putting a hold on the evictions is important.
Mark, we're talking about rent, but let's be clear. I mean, when you have a home, you have other associated costs, electric, phone, and those sorts of expenses. Is your agency helping people who are falling behind on their utilities as well?
Absolutely, right. We've got several programs that work for utilities for the Duke bills. We can also use the Ohio Home Relief Grant for water and sewer bills, and we can use that in conjunction. So, for example, we can help somebody with their mortgage arrearages as well as water and sewer. And the cool thing about the Ohio Home Relief Grant is that there's no cap on how much we can help families with. So we have written checks on behalf of families for $17,000, $18,000 to wipe out folks' arrearages and their water and sewer bills.
How does the money get to you, Mark, so that your agency can distribute it to people in need like Monique?
Well, so there's different pots of money. We had the Hamilton County CARES grant, so the county gave us about $2.5 million early last year. And then the state gave us also CARES money, but didn't give it to us until November 2nd. And that was the Ohio Home Relief Grant. So we have the money. The money is, in CA's coffers. We just have to get it out, to the folks that in need. And there's more money coming down the road. There's community development block grant money coming from the state to us shortly. And then there's also the $25 billion coronavirus relief fund that's also coming to the state, the county, and the city. And that'll be coming probably around February, I would think.
Let me turn now back to Nick DiNardo, the managing attorney at the Legal Aid Society of Southwest Ohio. Nick, with all this money coming into the pipeline that will ideally help people in situations like the one Monique faces, what is your legal for either in their home or to get them moved somewhere safely?
Well, we've been trying to really cooperate with the landlords in Cincinnati to make sure they understand that this assistance is out there. For the most part, the general rule in Ohio is that once the rent is laid, a landlord doesn't have to accept it. And a lot of landlords, you know, won't accept partial payments. And so we've been trying to get them to partner with us and so we can keep these folks in their homes. With Monique's landlord, we're going to try and follow up with them again and see if we can encourage them to help us apply for assistance for her. We've been taking that approach because I think that's going to be the most effective way to keep the most vulnerable tenants housed, is by actually getting landlords to understand how the program works, to agree to continue these evictions that are already filed, or to not file them in cases where a person is just behind in rent, but they haven't gone to the court system yet, and to complete applications for tenants and get the rent paid. You know, there's no dispute that tenants owe this rent. We just want to make the landlords whole. And what we really need is time. Because of the capacity issues that we're having, a few weeks gives us the time to get an application together and get the landlord made whole. So we really do want to try and work with them as much as we can. But it's a different approach that landlords have to take from kind of the typical eviction system that was in place prior to COVID.
And I'll turn back to Mark Lawson now from the Cincinnati Hamilton County Community Action Agency. When we hear stories like Monique's, we hear a sense of urgency in her voice. She talked about having a 4-year-old son in her house and already packing up. What happens on the other side of this in our community, Mark, if situations like the one Monique faces aren't resolved in a way that's favorable to her?
Well, Ms. Simmons' story is heartbreaking, and the reason that Nick and I are doing the work that we do. And sadly, there are many stories like Ms. Simmons, people who have lost jobs through no fault of their own, industries that are struggling to come back. So if we're unable to help these people, I mean, we all know about Matt Desmond and his book, Evicted. And people now, I mean, Nick and I have done this for a long time, but now most people are realizing the trauma and hardship that families go through if they lose their housing, rental housing, or homes, that kids are uprooted from their educations and have to move, or they double up with families. And it's very difficult to get a job or keep a job when you're struggling to find a roof over your head. And on top of all of that, we're in the middle of a pandemic. So it's exactly the wrong time to be doubling up with anybody or to be homeless. And so it's a double whammy. And so, that is why we're doing the work that we do.
Monique Simmons, who we spoke to at the beginning of this segment, is still on the phone line with us. And I want to finish up with you, Monique. We've now heard from the Legal Aid Society and the Community Action Agency, but we know when we spoke moments ago, there was heartbreak in your voice because of how challenging a situation in which you find yourself. What are your hopes for how this works out?
I just really hope that, really just hope to find somewhere better to go. Like I said, been on 3 years here, and I've seen it go from good to bad to really bad. And this is a blessing. In the other situation, it's heartbreaking. Like I said, it's been multiple shootings over here. He doesn't care. Place looks a mess. I want to have a better job. I want my kids to be safe to go outside, and we have a roof over our head that we don't have to be scared that we're going to get kicked out. So, I don't know.
Monique,
I can do it, pack and pray. Pray and pack.
Just to be clear, you are currently packing your current home.
Yes. Yes, I am. Every day.
What's your immediate plan? I mean, are you planning to vacate those premises?
Yeah, I really want to. I've been saving as much as I can. I'm down to my last $500. and all I could do was just pray that somebody will accept the HUD, because I've tried to go and apply at, you know, subsidized housing, but they're far out. One is in, like, Mount Washington, the other one's in Batavia. But if they're going to help me get on this, you know, the HUD and subsidized housing, I really, really, it'd be a lot of weight off my shoulders, really.
Monique Simmons, thank you so much for sharing your very difficult story with us. I know it's not easy to talk about that, and we wish you and your son Armani the best as this moves forward. And I also want to thank Nick DiNardo, the managing attorney at the Legal Aid Society of Southwest Ohio, Mark Lawson, president and CEO of the Cincinnati Hamilton County Community Action Agency, and our reporter here at WVXU, Jolene Almendarez, who helped work on this story. Thanks to all of you for talking to us today.
Thank you.
Thanks, Michael.
Great. Thanks for having us.
And you've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Our assistant producer is Nick Swartzel. Our technical director is Josh Elstro. Our theme music is composed by Rob Fetters. You can find archives of our program online at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks. We'll talk again tomorrow.